Father, every song that we have sung together, and the one that Abby just sang to us, reminds us of this journey of faith. Our need for your grace and your forgiveness, and yet your strength is there to help us, to uphold us. Sometimes in this journey, we get our eyes focused on the wrong things. We begin to look at the circumstances instead of the one who's in control of all things. We get discouraged and we begin to convince ourselves that it's not possible when we forget that you are our strength when we are weak. This morning we learn from a young lady in Scripture who was willing to take great risks in order to do that which would be honoring and glorifying to you. A decision that each of us come to at different points in our life, and I would ask that you would help us this morning to see the importance of those intersections in our lives, that we would make the right decisions for your honor and for your glory, we pray. Amen. I don't know if you have found the Christian life to be easy or hard. Can I get that up on this? There we go. But I wasn't brought up in the church like most of you. I didn't have that background. When I was a child, my children, or my parents, they took me to church a little bit, but I wasn't learning some of those basic Bible stories and truths that many of you have. So by the time I became a teenager, I had already begun to forge ahead in the way of life in which I had figured was mine, and I was convinced by my father and others that religion was just for people that needed a crutch. And as you saw a few weeks ago, I needed them. And I needed them when I was a senior as well. But anyway, so I'd already had a mindset towards Christianity, and those that I knew that were Christians certainly weren't living the lives that reminded me of my need for Christ. One of those fellas was a part of our wedding party, and I didn't even really know that he was a Christian. I knew he was a little different, but he was doing the same things that I was doing, maybe not to the same extent, but never knew he was a Christian until after I became a Christian. Then my best friend went to church every week. But he would go on Friday nights to his particular church, and he would get everything all right with him and God, and then we would go out and get drunk and do whatever we were going to do. So I had no background at all of what Christianity was. And then I went to work for the county of Muskegon up in Michigan, and I knew right off the bat that one of the guys that I worked with was a religious fanatic, and some of you have heard the story, and you may have met him when he and his wife attended here a while back. And there was one other guy that farmed with us, and that was the guy that I graduated from, the guy I wrestled with, the guy that was in my wedding party that I didn't even know was a Christian at the time. And so I had kind of set my mind that if that religious guy ever began to talk to me, I'd tell him exactly what to do with his Bible. Some of you know the story. I finally come to know the Lord through that. But then I began this journey. And I have found the Christian life to be very, very difficult. And I don't know if you have found it hard. But if you haven't found it difficult and hard, then may I suggest you're not trying very hard. You see, the Bible reminds us that the gate is narrow and the way is hard. I know some of you may have learned that verse differently where it says straight and narrow, but the Greek says it is hard. It is difficult. It is troublesome. It is hard. It leads to life, and few there be that find it, but we're doing it all for His glory. So I'm going to walk you through a little bit of my journey that I have found this Christian life and the difficulty of it. And because I had no Bible background, one of the things that I knew that I needed to do was to read the Bible after I became a Christian. And I was a poor reader. Graduated from high school, but could hardly, on the honor roll, by the way, but could hardly read. But nevertheless, I was at least given a foundation to know that the Scripture was what I needed to guide my life with. And so I began to read and got excited, and Brenda and I were both saved out of non-Christian homes, and so we had a burden to share our new faith with others. And so 3 months after our salvation, I'm witnessing to my brother-in-law and sharing with him the hope that we have, and he turns to me and he says, "Keith, one of the things I can't stand is to have someone preach at me with a bottle of beer in his hand." I said, "Oh, so it makes a difference how I live my life." And so when he stopped at the stop sign and I opened the door and poured that bottle out, I knew that this wasn't going to be a very easy journey. And then, from there, I began to study the Scripture, and some time went by. I don't remember the exact amount of time, but I was reading that if I ever was to bring my gift or sacrifice to the Lord and realize that there was an issue between me and someone else, that I needed to get that taken care of. Well, I had been a thief. The local gun shops and hardware stores around our area, I had all paid all of them visits. So I thought, well, man, this isn't easy. So I determined to go back to those hardware stores and gun shops and confess what I had done and offer to repay. This Christian life isn't easy. And then my wife gets pregnant. Still haven't figured out how that happens, but. And I begin to thinking about reality, and maybe I need to do something besides farming, even though I was farming for the county. I decided to get a job at a factory. Never been in a factory before, per se. And I was hired in as an operator. I had 3 or 4 guys underneath me, and so I was responsible to produce X amount of product. And 2 of the guys under me were Christians. Another one was a Baptist preacher. Another individual was an unsaved individual. But the company said X amount of product had to be produced, and they gave us a 15-minute break, a half-hour lunch, and then a 15-minute break towards the end of a 10-hour day. But what was custom in the shop was everybody took 15-minute breaks in between the breaks and the lunch. But I had studied the Scripture, and it tells me that I'm supposed to bring honor and glory to God. And when I work for man, I'm not supposed to be working for man. I'm supposed to be working for God and honoring, glorifying Him by working for man. And so I didn't go take those breaks. I took the breaks that the company said I could take, and I took the lunch as they told me I could take lunch. But I didn't go into the restroom and sit around while some of them smoked their cigarettes. That didn't work out very well. Those guys didn't like me too much. But I knew what the Scriptures taught, and I knew that I was supposed to be an example, and I knew that I was supposed to be doing all that I do for the honor and the glory for God. But now I'm in a situation where the guys that I'm working with don't like me very well. And sometimes you want to hear the story, you ought to hear what they did to me when I left. Headed off to Bible college. This Christian life was hard, difficult. And then I went into the ministry. And down through the ministry, I found that there are times when decisions need to be made or a comment needs to be said, and it's not very popular. Never forget, 20 years ago, I was pastoring in a small rural town. There were 3 churches in the town. And there was a hot subject on the table. All the newspapers were carrying it. Even Toledo was carrying it, which was over an hour away. And in our little community, this little farming community, there were 3 churches, and each of the churches had a different view. And newspapers wanted my opinion, and it's a no-win situation. I knew that if I shared what I believe Scripture taught, there was going to be repercussions, but I also knew that there was a great number of individuals in the community hoping that I would say what needed to be said. How do you win those battles? It's hard. Because I'm just like you. love to be loved. I hate being hated. I like being liked, at least tolerated. I am not a cold, hard, indifferent individual. I care what people think. And I have found that walking this journey of Christianity is hard because I want to be loved. I don't want to be hated. I want to be liked, at least tolerated. And I care what individuals think, but I've learned it's far more important to care what God thinks than what people think. And that's hard. That's hard. We know that the moment we truly come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, when I come to that point in my life where the gospel has made sense to me, I understand that I am a sinner, I deserve God's wrath upon me, I have fallen short of His expectations and what He has laid out. There's no way that I could redeem myself and save myself. There is no way I could ever be good enough in order to God for God to accept me into heaven. And when the gospel hit my ears and my heart and my mind, and I realized I was lost, and I said, okay, Lord, I need the forgiveness that's found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. At that very moment that I did that, and the very moment that you've done that, and I pray that you have done that, because if you're here this morning and you haven't, then you're still lost in your sins and you need Christ. But the moment you do, you are justified. God declares you righteous because the righteousness of Christ is put to your account and all your sin is put to Christ's account and it's paid for in full and you are made righteous, perfect in God's eyes. And we look forward to the day when we will be glorified, when we leave this tent, this body, and we get to go into eternity. And Paul said, to die is gain. At that point, sin will no longer be a problem. That is my glorification. But right now, in between those two junctions, is life. And as a believer, I have been told that whether I am eating or drinking or whatsoever I do it for the glory of God. That's hard. That is hard when you're walking through life. And the songs that we sang, I really enjoyed. But when we sing the song, Sweeter as the Days Go By, I have trouble with that. I have trouble with that. Because I have not found that as the days go by, it gets sweeter. Oh, He gets sweeter. But I find out how much harder it is and difficult it is. But there comes a time in our lives when we need to decide whether we identify ourselves with the covenant God that we have come to know through Christ Jesus, or whether we continue to live like pagans. We come to those junctions in our lives where we have to make that decision. Do I just continue to live as I always have, the way pagans do, and go on with a worldview like they have, or do I come to this point where I just say, enough is enough, I can't do this any longer. It matters what God expects and desires and sees in me. That's hard. Take your Bibles, if you will, and go with me to Esther chapter 5. Esther chapter 5. And in case you weren't here last week, let me give you a little background to where we are at this particular point. We've been working our way through the book of Esther, and up to this particular point, we've not seen a whole lot in Esther or Mordecai that's worth being an example to follow. What I have tried to point out through this is I believe that Esther and Mordecai were very much caught up in their culture, living their lives just like the rest of the pagans around them. In fact, Mordecai said, now Esther, don't you tell anybody that you're a Jew. We don't want anybody to know that you are different than them and that you are somehow related or have a relationship with the covenant God of the Jews. So we don't want anybody to know that. So you're going to go into this beauty pageant incognito. Keep it quiet. Don't tell anybody. Keep it hush hush. And so she goes along with this. She becomes a part of the harem of this pagan king, knowing she's going to go to bed with him, and she ends up being the queen. But now what has developed is this guy by the name of Haman recognizes that Mordecai is a Jew, and their history goes way back, and Haman goes to the king, and a decree is made to where all the Jews are going to be executed on such and such a day. Mordecai hears about this. He's ripped his clothes. He's gone into repentance. Not only he, but all the Jews. Esther wants to know what's going on. He tells Esther, it's time. It's time to come out of the closet. We got to let people know who we are, what we stand for, and we got to come back to the God that we serve. And Esther says at first, you're crazy. And Mordecai says, don't you think you'll live through this? And so Esther in chapter 4, as we closed it, said, all right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to gather those around me, and I want Mordecai, I want you, and as many Jews as you can. For the next 3 days, I want us to go into a time of praying and fasting. And then I'll go before the king, and whatever happens, happens. Esther had made a decision. She was no longer going to walk like the rest of the pagans. She was going to make a decision to put her life on the line. She was going to bring God glory and no longer be ashamed of the fact of who she was and who she believed in. This wasn't going to be easy because she had told Mordecai that the king had not requested her for 30 days. The king had already made an edict, a decree, that all these Jews would be annihilated, and kings cannot retract their edict. And so what she was about to do was ask for the impossible, but nevertheless, 3 days are up, and it's time to go before the king. Verse 1. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on the royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house. While the king sat on his royal throne in a royal house facing the entrance of the house, so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter, and the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom." So Esther answered, "If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." And the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that we may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. It went better than she thought. Now it's not over with. I mean, the cat's not completely out of the bag yet. But what has she done? She's taken the first step. This is a huge step for Esther. Probably still a teenager. Maybe she's 20 now. She's been queen for 5 years, so she could still be a teenager. She might be 20, 21, but she's still very young. But this is a huge step. But that step comes into our lives often, doesn't it? When we're faced with a decision, and we know what we need to do, we know what the right thing is to do, we know what God expects of us, but, don't we? We evaluate the circumstances, we weigh out the consequences, and we allow all of that to dictate to us, and then we justify our decision when we know what God expects and what God wants. Christian life is hard. It really is. And I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again, but I'm still waiting for somebody to find me an example in the scripture of one of the great heroes that found serving God, living for God, honoring God with their lives. They found it easy. I find individuals that had to die for their faith, beaten. It's hard. This Christian life is difficult. If anybody, I've told you this in the past, but the first time I ever heard the gospel, the individual sharing with me, I am 17, 18 years old, sitting in study hall in high school, and the first time I hear the gospel is presented to me by saying, listen, if you'll just ask Jesus into your heart, you will never have a bad thought again. I didn't accept Jesus in my heart at that point, but when I come to know Christ as Savior, that guy was lying. Because I still have thoughts that come to my head that shouldn't. Christian life is hard. It's difficult. But there comes those times in our lives when God is, in a sense, asking us, whose side are you on? Are you more concerned about what people think of you than you are of me? God says. Because in the ultimate end, those individuals that you're so concerned about, you don't give an account to. I am your creator. I am the one. So I've been a believer now for almost 40 years. It's not easy. It's not easy. So I want to say this with each of you. It's easier when we walk the journey together. We're here for one another, to help each other. We stumble. We trip. And we fall. But woe to us if we devour each other because we do. When your brother stumbles and falls, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in meekness. Help them. This journey is tough. And there are lots of intersections where we can get off track. But it's time that all of us get on track and help each other along the way. Would you pray with me? Father, I would ask that you would help us to be like Esther. She did not want to make this decision. She did not want to go before the king. She did not want to have to face the reality of this and put her life on the line. But she did. She did. Because it was the right thing to do. In order for her to bring honor and glory to you, and to shine in the midst of a pagan culture, she took the chance. And most of us know the end of the story. But here we are in the 21st century, living in a very pagan culture as well. And maybe those individuals that are closest to us, the individuals that we work with and go to school with, maybe they don't even know that we're Christians. Maybe like those Christians that I knew before coming to know Christ. You've called us to be the light. You've called us to be salt. And you've told us to go into the world, to all the world, and to share the gospel, the good news. But if we're closet Christians, we won't be doing what you've called us to do. Help us, Lord. This is a hard journey. But we're gathered here together asking that you would help us to go together, walk together, to help each other along this way. That we can look back and hand in hand say we've done it. Hasn't been easy, but we've done it. And we've done it for the glory of God alone. And we'll thank you for what you do and accomplish, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.